The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com, is heard on the We Be Geeks Collective and on Sci-Fi Dog Radio.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And we host the Watchathon of Rassilon,
a podcast where we watch every episode of Doctor Who and then talk to you about it.
It's like an idiot's guide to Doctor Who.
And we're the idiots.
The Watchathon of Rassilon, a Doctor Who podcast made by idiots.
And a proud member of the ESO Network.
Welcome back to the Con Guy Show. My name is Jim Fry, your host, and with me for today's special Easter week show is my partner in crime, Cheeseman.
Cheeseman here with theconguy.com. Excited to talk to these guys and talk about comics.
Yes, we're talking comics, but not just any comics. These are pretty cool comics. From creators Daryl Pennington and Matt Baker and editor Daniel Hancock comes a story of epic proportions. Discover the strength and weakness of the mighty Samson. Divinely imbued with supernatural strength, feared by his enemies, destined to deliver his people. In his final hours, Samson reflects back on the life that he has taken. Where did it go wrong? And is there a chance of redemption, guys? We are so excited to talk to you guys about this. Welcome! Welcome to the Con Guy Show, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Right up front, though, we have to tell everybody, this is kind of cool. Two of our guests here are coming to us from Australia. How is Australia doing right now? I hear you guys, some of you guys are getting a lot of rain.
Yeah, that's, I think Matt got a lot more rain than we did. It's a beautiful day out here in Melbourne today. Melbourne's on the very bottom of the east coast of Australia. Mm-hmm. Where Matt is, halfway up the country, they had a lot of rain. I don't know if you have any of those photos, but Matt was showing us photos where you pretty much just had the tops of houses that almost looked like Noah all over again.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I live just a couple of minutes away from the Clarence River. And, it just flooded pretty impressively. So people got a few days off school. Nobody lost any cattle as far as I know, so it's all good.
Good. Yep. And Daniel, where are you coming to us from today?
Michigan. So it actually snowed this morning. So you guys can all
I'm sure you'll love this then.
Right. Oh, yeah.
For those of you listening, State pop in front of the camera right now.
There we go.
Yeah. Yep. Did you follow Michigan basketball at all? I hate it that they got knocked out this week.
Yep.
All right. Well, listen, we got some really cool stuff to talk about today. First, let's get to know you guys a little bit. So, Daryl. Or Daz, right?
Yeah, either way.
You are a professional artist. You started as an in-betweener and later a cleanup artist at Disney Toon Studios in the early 2000s. And you worked as a storyboard artist and you worked for a number of animation studios. Tell us a little bit about that, your career.
I started, I've always been drawing ever since I was a young kid. I'm just always drawing all over everything. And eventually my girlfriend then, she talked me into sending some of my stuff away to Disney to apply. And as luck would have it, I got through all the intake there, and that's where I met Matt. We were both in-betweeners, off as in-betweeners. We were there for probably about 6 years, I think it was, and then they closed the doors, and I'd got the love of drawing. And so we went from there, and I wanted to stay in traditional animation. They had a lot of the CG was really coming out then, and everyone was sort of moving over to CG, and I really had no interest in moving across to CG. I wanted to find something I could do where I could still use pencil and paper, just old school traditional. And so got into storyboarding, which I really loved. Just reading the scripts and putting the visuals down on paper was, I think that was one of my strengths, which probably translates into the comic books as well. I really enjoy the staging and the posing, which I think are my strengths. After Disney shut the doors, I managed to work in Melbourne couple of studios in Sydney just doing some storyboarding, working on some television shows. I did a couple of movies as well, animated, of course. And then it just seemed like every time I'd get into a studio, the doors would end up closing. Studios would go broke or whatever. I don't know. The writing was on the wall that this is sort of a dying industry here in Australia.
Mm.
And so from there, I kind of had to go out and get a real job. I have four kids and a mortgage, so I had to pay the bills. And I would draw on the side, but never really. After probably about 2012, I kind of just drew on and off and basically for myself. I'd always had the idea of doing comic books, and Matt and I have talked about it for many years and just never really got around to it until now. Mm-hmm. Samson.
That's cool. We're going to talk about Samson in just a second. Matt, a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was born to missionary parents, actually. My parents were missionaries in Papua New Guinea. So, I've always had the Christian upbringing and been interested in the Bible from a young age. Always really loved the illustrated comic Bible that I got given as a kid. You know, I used to wear the pages off it, reading it. And so I just, loved comics all the time, just like you guys, I guess. You know, grew up reading comics, and to me it was always just like, it was like reading a movie, hey. Like, most of the time I was into the pictures more than I was into the story as a kid, And yeah, so 2001, met Daz at Disney when I started there, and then when the studio closed down, I just kind of went, I think I just want to try freelancing, So I actually tried to carve out an existence as a freelance illustrator, and for better or for worse, that's kind of what I've been doing for the last 16 years, And Daz and I actually collaborated back in 2010, I think it was, Daz. On the Big Bible Challenge, we did the illustrations for that, and that ended up winning an award, and then we kind of haven't really done anything about it since then. And then last year, COVID happened, lockdown happened, and Daz and I just randomly sort of contacted each other and started talking about the good old days. And Daz was like, man, I want something to do. Let's do a Samson comic. And we sort of just went, all right, but, let's not make it silly. Let's just do 8 pages and just have fun with it. And just sort of exploded from there.
That's cool. And then yeah. I'm going to turn it over to Luke because I know he's got some questions. But first, Daniel. Daniel, you're the one who's kind of – we've been talking with you a little bit. Let's hear what's your involvement with us, with Samson, and how did you get involved with these guys?
Yeah, so I started out with Terminus Media just recently this last year. I kind of got involved through another project, Dominion, Fall of the House of Saul. It's a sci-fi epic comic book series, actually, that we're putting together, and kind of stumbled my way into writing with the creator of that comic book. And so I'm working with him now on that series. And then in the meantime, I'd been stalking Matt's posts on the Samson art. He's been putting them out and just kind of admiring their progress and work, and eventually reached out and said, what are you guys doing for distribution? Can we distribute this in the United States? And I was able to connect the two here with Terminus Media to actually kind of push the book out there and get it going. So that's been really great. And then along the way, I actually kind of joined up with the team a little bit working on the book and kind of doing some editing and now kind of promotion for the book as well. So
nice. All right. Cheeseman.
Yeah, very cool. So I was just wondering what were the inspirations on the look and the style that you wanted to do here with Samson and in the storytelling as well?
Well, the storytelling was kind of written, thousands of years ago. We just wanted to do – the reason we chose Samson in the first place was because I think we wanted to do something biblically based, and I think Samson – it's probably the one character, the one story that really lends itself to comic books, I think. You know, you have this guy who actually does have a, I'll say a superpower, you know, by the Holy Spirit.
Like a superhero of the Bible. Yeah,
like a superhero. Yep.
That's right. That's right. And as Dan, I was talking to Dan a couple of days ago, and as he mentioned, we also have like a, the Bond girl of the Bible in there as well. You know, so we yeah, I think there she is.
Yeah. Lila.
We wanted somebody sexy and sinister at the same time. Yeah. I think with Samson, you know, there's a lot of great visuals that we could come up with him beating down thousands of soldiers with the jawbone of a donkey, fighting a lion, you know, the escapades with the Bond girl. And we just thought that I'd always thought that that would be a one story from the Bible that would really translate well visually into, you know, comic book medium. I also grew up loving the movie. I don't know if you know the old 1949 Cecil B. DeMille movie with Hedy Lamarr.
Yeah.
And I've always loved that movie. However, watching it back in the last couple of years, it's very 1949. It's quite bad.
He was just sharing the trailer with us this morning, actually.
That's right.
Hey, speaking of trailer, would you mind if we showed the trailer for Samson so give everybody kind of like an idea of what we're talking about?
Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
Cheeseman, do you have it?
Yeah, let's roll this thing.
All right.
My God, how far have I fallen? How far have I wandered from the path you laid before me? Surely I was blind long before they took my eyes.
Have a care, Nazarite. Do not be blinded by her beauty.
I am many things. Blind is not one of them.
Samson is unstoppable. He killed hundreds with nothing but a donkey's jawbone.
Is this a game to you, Samson?
I alone stand between you and the Philistine.
Let's pray they don't find a chink in your armor, oh mighty Samson.
If you love me, tell me the truth. What gives you such power?
The mighty Samson. Killer of lions.
We must find the secret to his strength.
Wow.
Daniel, you had a big part in putting this trailer together, right?
Yeah, it's kind of my thing. I'm not one of the artists or anything on the book, so this is my art contribution to it. It was the editing and the voice casting and directing and all that. So,
that was a fantastic contribution, too.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
sounded like you almost got a Hemsworth in there to do the narrating there.
Yeah, he's great. Chris Ingersoll actually does the voice for Samson. Yeah, we went through a lot of auditions for those four lines, in fact. Six actors auditioned for that.
Wow. That was really good.
Yeah.
And like the music and the such drama. The one thing, okay, well, let's address this right up front, and then we'll just jump into the book a little bit, is a lot of the people watching the show, they may not be as familiar with, like, a lot of the Bible stories that perhaps maybe me and Luke, we grew up in church, so we're very familiar with it. That's the stuff that we love. But a lot of just mainstream comic book writers, readers, they may be less familiar. So for people who might say, oh, that's just a Bible story, let's talk about this. What about those people? Why would they like a book like this?
I have a work colleague, and he's somewhat into pop culture. And he knows that I was doing a comic book. And I asked him, and I asked, do you know anybody, read any of your friends read comics? Because I knew he somewhat. And he said, oh, look, I used to read comics, but really wouldn't read any religious ones. And I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Once Daniel released the trailer, I played him the trailer at work, and he was watching it, and I just saw his face go blank. And then at the end of it, he goes, where can I buy this?
Yep.
And then, we're in the middle of making a figure as well of Samson. And I showed him the work in progress on the figure, and he's looking at it, and he said, where can I buy this? And so I think, I don't know, I just really think if we can get in front of people, they'll buy it, hopefully just based on the art alone, and then from there they will my prayer and my intention is that they will read the book, enjoy the book, and then want to know, this is Bible. I never knew this was Bible. Maybe I can go into the Bible and read the actual story of Samson. Maybe from there we can encourage them to move on to John or something and read about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The art's amazing, and just even the way, like how dynamic it looks, even just like in the trailer, just seeing that for the people listening, you got to check out the trailer because the art just is really good, and the way the panels have been broken up are very done in a very creative way where I don't know as much comics as I wish I did, but I love the way, like Frank Miller and like the Sin City does very dynamic. Right. Type kind of framing and stuff, and this had a lot of that dynamic framing, but you also get the color as well with this.
That's actually what attracted me to their work before I was a part of it, was looking at the panels and stuff that you guys were releasing early on. I was looking at that going, man, this is, I use the word hypnotic. You see Delilah's eyes, just the way that it's all set up, the whole lion panel. Where he's fighting that lion, the creativity and the angles and such. If they would make the movies that way, then that's I know they're doing some of that with the superheroes these days. But some of these biblical stories could be told that way, with the kind of creative eye that we're seeing in this artwork.
Can we talk about that? What you just said, something I think a lot of people don't realize: these biblical stories, they're full of action, intrigue, like a lot of epic adventure, and a lot of sometimes even violence and gore and
seduction.
I even noticed that on this comic book you guys have an age appropriate listing. Is it teens or older teens and older?
What
is that for? Why is that there?
One of the reasons we're putting it in there is just because Terminus Media is kind of going through a rebirth right now. They've been around for about 18 years.
Oh, wow.
They've done lots of different comics before my time with the company, so I can't really speak to too many of those. But when they kind of reformatted and decided what they wanted to do, and they're moving forward on a faith and family-friendly kind of basis. So they're starting new product lines, new comic book series. And the first one, the flagship, is Dominion that I mentioned earlier, the sci-fi space opera type one that we're doing, which is awesome. We can talk more about that some other time because we really should. It's very cool. But then we kind of want to draw in an audience and create a certain kind of atmosphere so that avoids, the less appropriate or the negative type of comic books that maybe are so prevalent today, ultra violent or sexuality that's cast in maybe a kind of a, more of a risque, glorifying it, too much. That's kind of what we're trying to avoid with Terminus. And so Samson is a little edgy for Terminus and their new product line and the new audience that we're building. But I think what Daz and Matt have done here with the book is casting it in such an excellent light, all of the things, so I think we're doing a good job with how it's being depicted, but we just want to make sure that audience, family friendly and moms and dads looking for books for their kids, they know that we're going to deal with sexuality and violence in this book, and so it's not by any means explicit, but it definitely doesn't pull any punches.
You talked about Delilah and the way that she's drawn. She's very beautiful. You got my hats off to you guys as the artist, but it doesn't look like it looks like you're not holding anything back. It definitely looks like you are telling an action story that is the Bond girl, that is she's one of the quote unquote villains of the story, maybe. I haven't read your take on it, but
definitely. Yeah.
Okay, good. Definitely. I know my Bible, so I don't.
In fact, I think you guys have given her even more volition in this story too than is maybe attributed to her in most other depictions. She's more at the center of the plot.
I feel like in some places we maybe even did hold back more than we could have. Like, if people read our version and then they read the actual version of Samson in the Book of Judges, in the Bible, you know, there's some pretty R-rated stuff. Like,
yeah,
I'm not sure how much people realize that sometimes the Bible gets pretty hectic, you know, and so we could have even pushed it further. We could have gone R-rated with this thing without even, you know, going off script from what the Bible says. But we actually pulled it back a bit. So yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we did pull a few punches. But it's done tastefully, you know. And so that's like when you guys are doing that, when you're holding back, it's so that it can appeal to a broad audience, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know, not glorifying things, you know, in the wrong light, you know.
Yeah. Right.
On the page where they're blinding Samson, spoiler alert, where they're blinding Samson, originally I'd drawn it from the front rather than from behind Samson, and you had the knife right in his eye and popping his eyeball out, and Matt saw it and said, "We can't do this." So we certainly have reined it in a little, yeah. We could go on stage with it for sure.
What I think is cool about it is that you guys reined it in with the artwork, but not with the story. So like you're choosing what we're like how much you're showing, how much violence, you know, how much we've reined that in, but the actual story is still being told. You know, whereas maybe kid cartoon version is gonna actually erase a lot of information that needs to be there. So the target is definitely for you know, mature teens and adults, for sure.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily even trying to paint Samson as a good guy. Like we're trying to show that truthfully he was a guy that was like riddled with bad decisions and, you know, sometimes just, you know, went off track and just totally followed whatever he wanted to do, you know. So we're trying to kind of be truthful to his character, and I think people will be able to relate to that, you know, whether they're religious or not. People can relate to a character that, you know, everybody's looking up to do great things with their life, and but he's stuffed up heaps, you know, and I think there's a story there for everyone.
That's right. When you read the account, there was a string of women, and a lot of the violence that ensued, he instigated, you know, he had a temper and a lust problem, you know.
Yeah, like my my daughter watching over my shoulder while we were working on the trailer here, after she saw a draft of it, she goes, "Dad, who's the good guy in this?" And I said, it's complicated, kid.
That's great.
It's true.
That's great that she recognized that, especially, you know, these biblical stories, they're not all straightforward. We know ultimately what the end goal is in the story of Christ coming and redemption. But like when it comes to the story of like Samson, the story of Saul, the story of David, you know, sometimes our Sunday school versions tend to gloss over. These guys were super complicated. They were just like us. And I love the fact that Samson, like me and Luke were talking the other day about Samson, how like he's one of our favorite. We were writing something that had referenced Samson, and like, you know, if you look at today, somebody who became like a celebrity, he was big, everybody knew Samson, and then he got canceled, so to speak, but of his own doing, you know. And it's very relevant to a lot of things that are happening today. I would say.
Yeah.
And with the story, like, it's like, it seems like a lot of these people that God superly empowered to do different things became, they struggled with pride, and Samson struggled with pride. And then Jesus was one of the only examples of someone that came, you know, superpowered to the earth and didn't ever kind of waver in that. So like, it's a good kind of through story that leads to the story of Christ and all that, and showing kind of, you know, Samson and the power that he had. But it is cool that, yeah, he's one of the only super strength ones that we get. Now, you guys, as you obviously chose this one for a reason, it's a great story. Was there any part of the Samson story in the Bible that you particularly like stuck out to you the most, that you were most looking forward to developing in this version of it?
Yeah, the redemption. Just seeing, as everybody's been explaining, the kind of guy that Samson was, very human, very fallible. Riddled with lust and pride and like I said, a bad temper. And just seeing his redemption from that, he's realized his faults, realized that he's walked away from, he was a Nazarite. He was set apart by God to lead his people, to judge his people and as their protector as well. And he walked away from that or failed in it anyway. And just seeing that repentance and that redemption, and God still used him to bring about the end of the Philistines. And I think just seeing that change in him, you know, being humbled, being broken, but yet still being used by God in that state. That's what drew me. That's what I was looking forward to telling anyway in the art and the storytelling.
Yeah. From a purely artistic point of view, I was just really looking forward to the jawbone scene, you know, where he just in all these Philistines. I'm like, man, how are we going to do this? How are we going to make it epic and look like something no one's ever, you know, done before? Because, you know, there's already comic books out there that have had a go at depicting Samson and done a pretty good job of it too. And so I think there was a challenge for us to do it in a way that no one had seen it before. And so I think the page that we actually spent the most time on was the page where he's just clouding all these Philistines with his jawbone. And we just spent ages on that page just trying to get it right. And we just had a ball with it, you know, like just going, oh man, this is looking epic. And we were kind of exciting each other because we kept sending each other, you know, updates of what we were doing and just going, oh dude, this is actually going to look pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And we've deliberately concealed some of these pages, even from the trailer. We're only given little snippets. That picture that we see that you guys just threw up there of him holding the jawbone, it's actually the full page. I mean, this thing is absolutely incredible. So you got to buy the book to see all the work that these two have put into the art. It's absolutely amazing.
I'm looking forward to seeing this. And I grew up, like I say, reading comics, and people of the show, they've heard it before. I would mow the lawn to get money from my subscriptions to my Micronauts, my Teen Titans, my Star Wars, Legion of Superheroes. But I gotta ask, did any of you guys have like comic books when you were coming up? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the very first comic book I can remember buying was Judge Dredd, you know, the 2000 AD comic, yep. the British comics. And I like Matt, it was just all about, I just flicked through and just looking at the art. Didn't even really read them, I don't think, for a few years. It wasn't until I was probably in my late teens when I had a friend who had like a shelf of Marvel comics that I actually got into the X-Men. I think one of the earliest stories I read, crossovers, was probably, I don't know, the Executioner's Song. Do you guys know the Executioner's Song in the X-Men? It was a big crossover. Took probably about 20 books or so. And from that moment,
91 or something.
91, was it that? Okay. Yeah,
I was around about 1991.
Yeah, probably 90. Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah. And from that, I was just hooked. And since then, I started buying for years anyway, every X title. And then that got me into some other things. I got into Ghost Rider, was a favorite, and all his different incarnations. And then slowly along the way, after years, I think I got all superheroed out and I just started getting really into the Image comics because they were based more on just different storytelling.
Right.
And not so much the superheroes. I think with the influx of all the superhero movies as well, kind of, you know, I just felt really snowed under by superheroes, even though, again, getting back to Samson, we chose one of the Bible characters that is most like a superhero. I don't know.
Yeah, he's got his Hulk moments in here. Yeah, he's got his Wolverine.
Certainly grew up reading comics and still do. I mean, I don't read them as often as I do anymore. No reason for that. I think just, you know, being a dad and having, you know, full-time work and everything else, you just don't really have the time you once had. But, still love it, obviously.
Yeah. What about you, Matt?
Oh, yeah. I think probably some Superman comics and maybe some Disney comics, you know, like the Chip and Dale and Mickey Mouse and all that sort of stuff is sort of what I got started on. And then I think probably when I was, I don't know, like 13, I sort of bought my first comic for myself and started getting into the superhero stuff a bit more. And I think it was when I just saw Jim Lee's work on the X-Men back in the early 90s.
Yeah,
that I was just kind of blown away and gone, whoa, people can draw like this. And that's when I kind of went, maybe I want to be a comic book artist one day, you know? And I was just, you know, I just sort of followed the artists back then rather than the writers, you know, like it was only later that I kind of got more into, you know, what the story was actually about and stuff like that. But I used to just follow the artist. And you guys ever have that experience where, like, the, you know, the artist was having a month off or something to recuperate and they'd have a guest artist come in or something? You know, this guy can't draw, bring back Jim Lee or something, you know. Yeah. And it kind of ticked off that you had to waste your money on a second-rate artist that month or something. Not that they were bad, but, you know, how you felt.
Some of them were.
Yeah. Anyway, I was just all about the art back then, and then, yeah, it was later on that I matured a bit that I kind of got more into stories.
Mm-hmm.
And a bit like what Dan was just saying, yeah, more into non-superhero storytelling.
Yeah.
I really loved the stuff that what was it? It was called US or something like that. Ross, what's his name? The painter.
Alex Ross.
Hey, yeah, Alex Ross painted this sort of. It was like two graphic novels. It was only like two in the series.
Wow.
And it was called US, and it was like just all about America and the downslide of America and stuff like that. And this guy that, like, this homeless bum that thinks he's Uncle Sam. And I think that was like one of the first non-superhero stories that I'd read that I was like, whoa, you know, comics can actually tell some pretty serious stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Hey, we are coming towards the end of our time together, but I do want to real quick, Daniel, what about yourself? Were you raised in comics, and what's your interest in this?
You know, not really. I didn't have a lot of access to comic books. Didn't know anybody who was into them. But I came across a few here and there: Batman, Superman.
Yeah,
you know, I was definitely running around with my underwear on the outside of my clothes. You know, doing the thing as a kid. You know, but it was probably in the movies. You know, for me, you know, as you know, Batman, Superman, the old ones, but definitely. It was cool for me, you know, seeing how the Nolan movies and the Avengers series as it came out was able to tell some deeper stories. You know, that's, I think, what really intrigued me was to see how they were taking some things that had been depicted in a lot of ways in some campy, you know, versions of the stories and whatnot, and really kind of mining those for some truth and some good action and drama and other things like that. And I've been able to apply some of what I've seen there with some Bible stories, in fact, through my own work. My very first play, I was a playwright for 15 years, producing my own stuff. But my very first play was based on a Jesus comic book.
Yeah.
So ironically, I'm kind of full circling here back around to comics again. But yeah, so always loved them. I didn't get into them too much until later.
Yeah, and Luke's going to kind of take us out on a question or two, but I do have to ask you, Daniel, you're director, playwright, screenwriter, editor at Terminus Media. Can you tell us real quick, what is Terminus Media? We haven't really talked about that.
Yeah, Terminus Media, it's like it sounds, a media company. We're doing comic books, graphic novels. They've done animation, all kinds of stuff like this. They're bringing in new things. They have we have an audio drama that we're working on, and one that we've got on the site there. So just lots of different types of materials and things like that. Cool stuff. And so we're growing in a new direction. So Samson's really the first comic that we've brought in, you know, that was already on its way being produced. And then, like I mentioned before, the Dominion comic, the website is terminusmedia.com. You can check it out. Great, great new pages, easy to use shop. We would love for you to come visit and grab some cool comics.
Yeah. And what's End of Darkness?
Oh, End of Darkness. Yeah. That's the audio drama that I produced. It's 50 voice actors, an original score, cinematic sound effects, the whole bit. It's the gospel story like you've never heard it.
Cool.
Perfect awesome. Time of year. Check it out.
Yeah. Cool. Jeez.
All right. Now, me and Jim, we're both screenwriters and very into like writing. I'm also into art school, so I'm into the art as well. But as storytellers on this, for those who have read the Samson story, like what aspects of that story did you expand on in this particular comic? And also with, you know, the superpower that Samson had, did you kind of stick to what he had biblically, or did you take it bigger to more of like a superhero level where he's like jumping higher or doing, you know, stuff even beyond the Bible described?
No, we kept his the power of the Holy Spirit pretty much in line with the biblical account. You know, he pushes apart the pillars and brings down the temple. Defeated a lion, defeated a thousand men with the jawbone, and that's pretty much all we really did in the comic book. Funny enough, it started out only as 8 pages, so we just did this 8-page montage pretty much, and tried to, so we had to leave a lot of stuff out. So there was plenty, like the carrying off of the gates, the city gates, and the burning down the fields with the foxes, we didn't really have room for. It wasn't until we found it hard to contain what we had within the 8 pages that we thought, oh, we might have to add another page here just to sort of flesh this little bit out. And then once we got in touch with Daniel and the Terminus team, then we thought we can't really publish a comic with like 12 pages because I think at this point we had about 12, maybe 13. We'd asked Daniel because neither Matt nor myself really fancy ourselves as writers. We're just more artists. And we asked Daniel to look over the writing and just sort of give us some tips, which he did, and rewrote some stuff, and it was fantastic. But what that involved was that we went from the 12 or 13 pages we had to, like, I think, like 20 now, which is fantastic.
We were on 16 at the time, and then we had to bump up.
Oh, 16. Okay.
But 16, yeah, so it went from 8 to 16 to 19, Matt.
There you go, right? Yeah.
So, and so it's bigger. We kind of, it's bigger now.
Yeah, we were kind of. It was kind of piecemeal. We're kind of Frankensteining this thing together, you know.
Yeah.
But we certainly didn't embellish, I don't think, his power. Everything that he does in the comic book, he does in the Bible. I don't think we steered too much.
What I like about the depiction of Samson here too is that the scenes that we're not covering in the book, when you go back and read the Bible, you're going to be able to like map them out with our Samson in our style, right? That you'll be able to see it. You'll read the story that way now, you know, after seeing it. So all those extra scenes that aren't included in the actual pages, you know, they'll still be kind of brought to life, I think.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe if this goes well, we'll do a expanded edition or something. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be good.
Well, I know it has to be a prequel. We can't do a sequel. I don't want to spoil the plot, but there won't be any sequel.
Yeah, it's kind of,
because you wonder what happened before. If he's such a legendary warrior, what young him growing up, you really could kind of expand on kind of like what he did kind of his life and being kind of like a warrior, or even like, you know, David had probably many wars he did, but sticking to the Samson though, I'm sure he had lots of battles and fights in his life.
Right.
Yeah. I spoke with Matt as well, and Dan. We've kind of been chatting back and forth. And we thought, we've been throwing ideas around on, you know, what do you want to do next? Do you want to keep going with this thing? And I threw up the idea that we could do another Samson, and it would have to be, obviously, a prequel. Because like I just mentioned, there's plenty of stuff we left out that we could do.
Yeah.
I'd be all for it. You know, we've already got the character down. We've kind of built that world a little. And we have other ideas floating around as well, which are fantastic. So I don't know. Hopefully we can press on with it.
Cool.
And to plug my Dominion series a little bit too, it's really cool because a lot of what we're saying applies to the writing we're doing on that when we're dealing with the David, Saul, Jonathan, you know, all that. So all the same kind of ideas, how to approach these things is happening there too. A lot of this epic superhero moments, you know, the David and Goliath bit, we're getting to attack those, you know, on the whole other universe, but yeah. It's still the same ideas.
More about that, but the Dominion series, it's a little bit different in that it's told, it's not humans that are being told the story. What is it really? If you can give us a log line about that.
Yeah, sure. It's basically, it's the story, is inspired from the book of 1 Samuel. So you're getting Samuel, the prophet. Saul has the kingdom ripped away from him because he's disobedient to God. And then we see the fall of Saul's house, you know, Jonathan and his daughter, the princess, Michael, and, that whole story kind of unfolding and David's arrival into the scene. But the whole thing is done with anthropomorphic animals in space, Star Wars meets Narnia. So it's very fantastic, and exciting. And so you got mechs and, you know, spaceships and battles. And so everything, like we have all these, it's very still tied to the story, the biblical story, but we do go off and expand and kind of dive off of that diving board a little bit, you know, and come up with our own ideas for that. So definitely should check that out too. It's on the website, terminusmedia.com/dominion.
All right. Well, Daniel, Daz, Matt, thank you guys so much for talking with us today. I can't wait to get my hands on a copy of the book here. It has a style that if I were in a comic book shop, I would look at it. This is something, and I agree with you. Sometimes you get overdone on the superheroes, and you want something that feels a little bit more real, a little bit more like people, real people. And, you know, Samson was a real person. So this is a very cool, like, congratulations on this, by the way. It looks great.
Thank you.
And we can't wait to see more. So as we
go. Perfect holiday gift.
What's
especially
that?
Especially for Easters and Christmases. Don't you forget, perfect holiday gifts.
Right, and they can buy it on, where can people find the book right now, Daniel?
Terminusmedia.com.
TerminusMedia.com. Go there. Check it out, guys. What a great gift for Easter week. All right. Guys, thank you again so much, Matt, Daz, and Daniel. Is there we'll start with Daniel. Where can people find out information about what you're working on or any upcoming projects?
Well, let's see. You can find me on Facebook. I'm on there a lot. Instagram, you know, Daniel Hancock, 222, I think. But, right. Yeah, I'm on there. You'll find me.
All right. Matt.
My Instagram is at Matty Bake or Matt Baker Fine Art. And I've got my Facebook page is MJ Baker Art Studio. Check it out.
Fantastic. Daz?
All of Matt's social medias. I'm not really a social media kind of guy. I am on Instagram, however, but I'm not very active. It's Daryl Pennington.
All right. Yep. Luke,
and you can always check out the Terminus Media social media as well. We'll be posting stuff for all of our work on there.
And we're going to be linking to it on our website as well, so everybody can get a good preview of this, and hopefully you guys will pick up a copy. Cheeseman, take us out, man.
All right. Well, you can find Cheeseman here on Cheese on Couch on both Instagram and on Twitter, and also theconguy.com. Check out our website. We have lots of other shows we've done, lots of other cool articles and opinions on pop culture and especially Comic-Con culture.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Hopefully,
thank you.
Never know. We'll see you at a convention sometime soon talking about the books here. All right.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com.